Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You know, some of the candidates for mayor of Chicago just can't seem to scrape the Ed Burke off their shoes. I've written about it. You've heard about it. Burke got jammed up in the federal case. They're all running to some of them are running to pretend, you know, they don't even know Burke or who's Burke or I don't know Burke. Burke's not my friend. Burke didn't raise money for me. He didn't get me, you know, preside over my wedding ceremony. So they're trying to scrape Burke off their shoes. But here's my question for you. You ever think about goat dropping on your shoes? Yeah. Goat droppings. Because while all the candidates are focused on Burke, or the media is focused on Burke, I'm focused on Burke, and their relationship, what about Dorothy Brown? You know Dorothy Goat Lady Brown? She's the candidate for mayor whose mysterious goat company was being investigated by the FBI. And she tried and failed to explain the goat meat business to me. We'll get to that. And what about Speaker Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi? She seems to be panicking right now during the government shutdown. She's disinviting the president from speaking at his State of the Union speech. I'm all for the Congress standing up for itself finally. Presidents aren't kings. I like the idea of the Congress actually getting involved in government rather than just sucking up campaign contributions and going to, you know, Puerto Rico and putting suntan lotion on themselves. But the way Nancy Pelosi sounds, she sounds more like a TV producer pitching one of their weirdest shows on TV, Designated Survivor. I don't even know if it's still on. About an attack on the Capitol, leaving only Kiefer Sutherland to save us. Are Democrats going to wear the jacket for the shutdown on the border wall? It looks like it. Panic has, well, it has a smell, just like goat turds. Jeff Carlin, the producer of the Rokan Show on WGN AM 720, is back in the studio trying to edit this gobbledygook I'm sending him. Sorry, Jeff. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune. And you know where you are? Between the politicians and Nancy Pelosi and panic and goat turds? You're on the Chicago way. On WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Do you really care about the State of the Union speech? Goes back to the earliest years. The president would write a letter to Congress explaining to them the State of the Union as he saw it. Then it became a speech. I think Woodrow Wilson started it. I don't really care about it. Presidents do. Their political people do. Congress does. The president comes to the House, and he stands there and gives a big speech, and then the talking heads on TV explain to you, if they're of the president's party, they explain how wonderful he was, and if they're not, they explain how limited and foolish he was. That's what they do, and it's just a speech to me. Until it's not a speech. Until he's disinvited. And then it becomes a story. And so Nancy Pelosi made a story of it. She disinvited the president, saying, Mr. President, you support the shutdown. The government has been shut down. We can't really have a State of the Union speech in the House of Representatives because it's dangerous. And so she sounded like I said in the opening, somebody pitching that show, the ridiculous show, Designated Survivor, which is like a soap opera with guns and presidential assassins. Kiefer Sutherland as the designated president. I didn't want to be president. He becomes president because somebody attacked the Capitol. It's kind of pathetic. The show also, and Nancy Pelosi's reasoning, and here's why. It's being billed as a coup, like a brilliant political stunt. Joel Mathis, writing in the Week, congratulates her by saying that she's denied Trump the spotlight, the TV spotlight, and that gets under his skin. It'll drive him crazy. The president of the United States, he says, is always at the center of attention, and this president more than most. For a few days a year, the State of the Union makes the spotlight even brighter. God knows why. The speech is usually a snoozer, a laundry list of policy goals that often come to little fruition. Despite that, it's unavoidable. But he goes on to say how wonderful she is, how smart she is, because she denies him the limelight of TV, and that'll drive Trump crazy. All whenever you see someone clapping their hands, when you see the media coming out early and clapping its hands like a wind-up chimp, you know, like those with the symbols and everything, the little chimps. I remember I used to have one. You wind it up. It looked kind of like a capuchin monkey, actually. And it banged cymbals. I don't know why. It was kind of a terrifying toy, actually, when I was a little boy. When I really think about it, it really scared the crap out of me. Anyway, the point being, all this desperate applause of Nancy Pelosi undercuts something. I think she's panicking. I think she's in trouble. Because for the Democrats to deny the State of the Union speech just means he's going to hold it somewhere else. He'll hold it Mitch McConnell will invite him. He'll go to the Senate or he'll go to El Paso. He'll hold it there and make a big show of it. Media will be there. He'll make a big speech about how he's trying to protect the country. And he'll stare into Juarez, one of the drug capitals of North America. People get hanged from bridges, sometimes without their heads. It's not going to be good for Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. Look, Trump wanted to shut down the government. He said, I need the money for the wall. They said, no, we're not going to give it to you. And how dare you? And these poor government workers are driving, Ubers now? They're driving Uber, trying to make ends meet. It's such a terrible, sad situation. Nobody buys it, Nancy. People want the wall. They don't want the government shut down, but they want the wall. They want border security. And the Democrats have allowed themselves to be identified as the party that is not for border security. Perhaps that's because so many of them are of the hard left now, and they're playing their intersectional race games that they just can't see what most Americans see. It's like this mocking of the president for giving the Clemson football team some franchise burgers and franchise food, you know, like McDonald's and so forth, whatever he got them, Kentucky Fried Chicken, I don't know. And it was a big deal, right? How dare you feed them this crap? Well, here's something the media and some of the liberals should, especially the not the old style liberals, but the new hard lefties should understand. Most people don't eat fancy meals. Most people don't eat roasts, you know, prime rib roasts. Most people eat McDonald's or Burger King, or they go get a bad tasteless chili from Wendy's and a garden salad. How do I know? Because that's what I had for lunch. Okay, that's because I can eat on my diet now. I can eat a Wendy's. Nothing else but just the chili and the salad. The point being, Washington lives in a bubble. They think, they talk to each other. They constantly reinforce each other. They're like the palace at Versailles, the courtiers at the palace at Versailles, who had no understanding of what was going on outside the palace walls. And I think that's the way it is with Washington. So I don't mind the government. I don't mind Congress doing its job. I really don't mind Congress pushing back against the president. That's good. We have to do that. We have to remind ourselves the president is not king. We didn't elect a king. On the other hand, the people expect border security. And to pretend that they don't is really dumb. I've noticed in recent days, if you look at some of the columns and commentary, and anyone who wants border security, who wants to stop illegal immigration, people who think that way are vilified as stupid, as racists, as dummies, as fools, knuckle-dragging idiots. Might as well say they're deplorable. And here's the problem. They're not fools. If you think that your country should have a border that's respected, that people just can't cross over anytime they want, and cross into your country anytime they want, and you dare say that you don't like that idea, that you're for, if you dare say you're for border security and you're condemned for it as an idiot, as a stupid fool, as a dummy, as a bum, as a sack of a sack of fats, people don't like that. And they see something. They see a panic underlying that kind of philippic, that kind of aggression. You kind of start making fun of people and mocking them, calling them stupid for believing that they should have a border around their own country. It's really not a winning proposition. Nancy Pelosi's on the wrong side of this. She might be on the right side of a lot of things when it comes to Trump. I'm not going to, you know, Democrats are not completely wrong all the time. But on this thing, border security, it's a bad position to be in. And she's being pulled by the hard left into this no-win scenario. So Nancy Pelosi, dumb move. The Capitol is not designated survivor. The world isn't a television show. Kiefer Sutherland is not the president of the United States.
It requires hundreds of people working on the logistics and the security of it. Most of those people are either furloughed or victims of the shutdown, the president's shutdown. This is a housekeeping matter in the Congress of the United States so that we can honor the responsibility and the invitation we extended to the president. You can make it from the Oval Office.
Secretary, you need to put the phone down.
Mike, what the hell is going on?
I said put the phone down.
Is this some kind of explosion?
Please check your video.
Mike, please, just tell us what you know.
Capitol's been attacked. Congress. Captain. Eagle is gone. Sir, you are now the president of the United States.
The past few days, I've been sitting at the Chicago Tribune editorial board mayoral endorsement sessions. First day, there was Gary Chico, Bill Daley, Tony Preckwinkle. Second day, there was Paul Vallis, Susana Mendoza, Bob Fioretti, and Dorothy Brown. Now, some of these people, the four, the so-called post-ROM opportunists that got in the race after it was safe when ROM withdrew, they've got Burke on their shoes. Susana Mendoza's got Burke on her shoes. Tony Preckwinkle definitely has Burke on her shoes. Gary Chico, of course, the tops of his shoes have Burke. Bill Daley, to some extent, also, just because he's not a Burke fan, but he play, you know, the Daleys play that same kind of game, the Chicago way game. And all are have Burke on their shoes because Burke's been charged with a federal extortion rap, and that's turned the axis of this campaign, axis, on the, you know, the Burke level. It's not, it's all about Burke now and corruption. Some of them handled it well. Some of them didn't. I don't think Susana Mendoza and Preckwinkle could do anything. They had a bad hand, and they tried to do as best they could with it. Billy Daley at least smirked. He smirked at me from across the way because he knows that this thing has turned. At least he's realistic about it. Gary Chico, well, he's, you know, he's not really in it to win. I don't know what he's in it for. Maybe some leverage somewhere along the road. Paul Vallis certainly likes it. Lori Lightfoot likes it because their arguments have been, you know, that the opportunists, the four of them, should never have been in the race and that they're just in it for themselves, not the city of Chicago. And all that was going on, and I'm sitting there in a rather warm room, trying not to make a fool out of myself, you know, taking my notes, looking at them, being the disciplined and well-mannered newest member of the Chicago Tribune editorial board. But there I was looking at Dorothy Brown. You know Dorothy Brown, right? I mean, she was under federal investigation too, or at least her goat meat company was under federal investigation. And as I watched her, I was thinking about my mom. I know, weird, right? My mom in Canada, like 60 years ago, maybe 70 years ago now, think of Canada back then, you know, in the 1940s, like the Wild West. There were wolves coming in. Sometimes they had wolves come in to the town to grab dogs and livestock. Anyway, there's a goat issue there. The goat issue was that they had a little farm, and there were goats on that farm. And they had a friend, I think his name was Kenny, some boy from town came out, spend the weekend with my Uncle George and my mom on the farm. And apparently the goats, I don't know where the goats were at the moment, but he was in the pasture. And he looked down and he saw what he thought were licorice balls all on the ground. And he said, "Hey, are these for me? Can I have these? You guys have all these yourselves?" And my Uncle George said, "Sure, they're ours. You can have some." My mom said, "Sure, you can have some if you want. I mean, yeah, have them." So he began to, this kid, I guess he was a little slow, began to stuff his pockets full of the goat turds. And he put his a handful and stuffed them in his mouth, at which point he started screaming. And my grandmother, who was, I don't know, I think she was making cheese at the time. She was making feta cheese in a barrel. And she came running out with a stick, grabbed my mom and my uncle by the ear and started smacking them in the behind with their little stick. Or maybe it was a wooden spoon. Whatever it was, they didn't like it. And that boy, Kenny, or whatever he was, the one that ate handfuls, stuffed handfuls of goat turds in his mouth, never came back. And here's why I'm bringing this up. Because everybody's picking on all the other ones, and I did too. I wrote a column about, you know, how they can't get the Burke off their shoes. But what about Dorothy Brown? I mean, she's got that issue, right? The FBI is investigating some corruption involving, I don't know, the goat meat business and who got loans and secret loans back and forth from employees and so forth. Allegations that there were bribes that she denies. So I ran into her after the editorial board meeting. I wanted to talk to Dorothy about her goats. You know, we hadn't seen each other forever, and I asked her, how did you think you did? She said, "I think I did excellently. Hit the main points." Yes, you sure did. She said she's one of the few people in the race that has sound and succinct ideas rather than a bunch of flowery language. Okay, Dorothy, sure. So then I ask her about goats, and she says, "Pardon me?" So she explains it. I mean, you can hear it. "You buy some studs and stuff," she said. "You have female goats, and you mate them together, and you sell the goat meat." This is ridiculous, I know. I have this feeling, this gnawing feeling, that there was no goat company, really, and there was no goats. There were never any goats bought. No studs, goat studs, so she can breed them. But she said, yeah. Oh, yeah, her husband had a trailer down there and down in Atlanta, in Georgia, 26 acres, and he managed the business. Dorothy Brown, I don't know. I mean, look, this thing has been hanging around for a long time. The federal government has not charged anybody with a crime, at least you with a crime. They charged some other people, but not you or your husband. So I don't know if they really have a case, or if they're just throwing this out there, but I just have a nagging suspicion that you don't know anything about goats. She's never cooked a goat. She doesn't like goats. She doesn't particularly care about goat meat. Goat Lady Brown doesn't care about goat meat? What's the world coming to? For Dorothy Brown, other candidates running for mayor, Nancy Pelosi and designated survivor and Kiefer Sutherland, and for Jeff Carlin, WGN executive producer of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, syndicated columnist, a man who loves goats. I love braised goat. I love goat on a spit. I love it all. But Dorothy Brown, she doesn't like goats. That saddens me. That makes me sad. Thanks for joining us on another edition of the Chicago Way. Talk to you soon. Bye.